Good morning. It's good to see you. In case you don't know, my name is Kyle, and it's good to be with you this morning and to worship a risen Savior. Are you me? Are you like me? Is it getting any better than singing about Jesus coming back from the dead? I mean, it's like Easter every Sunday, right? Whew! That's why we are Christians. We have a risen Savior. Wonderful. Hey, a lot of big stuff happening here at Holland Chapel. When I say here, I mean the people of God that make up the church. As Nick mentioned to you earlier, a group of students and the ministry there and leaders just got back from the Cleveland area, Lakewood, Ohio, serving and ministering there. I think a group of like 47, is that right? 47, just had an incredible trip, and God used them in huge ways to encourage and bless that church and that city as they served the community there and shared the glorious gospel in that community, and God's doing great stuff in Lakewood. We've got a team that is scheduled to leave this Wednesday for Kenya to serve there and to minister, and I want to mention their names because we want to take a moment and pray for them. Kenny and Linda Fear, Olivia Fear, Jay and Connie Hansen, Mark and Cheryl Weiss, and Josh Turner. That's our team that's going to Kenya. If you by chance are sitting near them, close enough to them, or you can say something or reach out, we're going to pray for them in just a moment. And if you're close enough, just to put your hand on their shoulder, if they're around you, let's do that. And let's pray for this team as they leave on Wednesday to go on the other side of the world to share the same message that we share here. Let's pray for this team. Father, we bow before you right now. And we want to thank you for the glorious gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, that we have not just heard about, but we have experienced by our lives being changed. And Father, we've got a team of people that are willing to spend their time, money, energy, vacation time, and so much more to go to another part of the world, Kenya specifically, to work with a missionary there by the name of John Strader and the missionary and the work that's going on there. And I want to pray right now that you would bless this team. I want to pray for Linda and Kenny and Olivia and Jay and Connie and Mark and Cheryl and Josh, that you would bless them, that you would give them a fruitful trip that brings forth souls in the harvest of the gospel. God, I pray that you do a work in and through them that they cannot describe. I pray that you would remind this team that the Spirit of the living God lives inside of them. And as they go, they're not going in and of their own selves and their own power, but they're going in the power of the Spirit. And so just bless them. Bless their families as they're away from them. Give them a safe journey there and back. And just may you be glorified in everything they do. And may people that are in Kenya that have never heard the gospel experience Jesus because of this team. Bless the missionary there, John Strader, God, just fill him and encourage him as they're with him during this time. And we just ask all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So some of you, if you got an email or you check out Facebook, we didn't announce this last week, but we put it out by way of social media and email and whatnot this week. We asked you to bring a 7/16 wrench. And if you brought one of those, you're like, why in the world did we bring one of those? I'm not telling you yet. It's a really important and busy week around here for several reasons. We mentioned the team going to Kenya here in a few days. Another big reason is tomorrow is when the project that we're beginning, our Not Here Yet project, goes into full effect. They've already begun work on the room over here that is known as the Fellowship Hall, and a lot of that work's already been done, and they're going to begin work in this room tomorrow, and we're excited about that. But what that means is a very busy week around here and some change already for us. And so a couple things that I'll mention to you that we want you to know about. One, we are doing this and calling this what it is, the Not Here Yet Project, because we believe that we need to refresh and remodel what we have to create an atmosphere and a culture around here that's even greater than what it is for you and I to invite our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members who don't know Jesus, who don't worship Jesus through the church, to come and join us in doing that. And we believe that this is going to enhance our opportunities to reach people. And we're just really, really excited about that. And we hope that you are as well. Another reason why we're doing this and remodeling the other room over here is because a lot of neat activities happen in there. Baby showers and wedding showers and celebrations. Our golden agers meet over there and worship and celebrate and fellowship together. A lot of other great things happen in that room, but we're going to create that room where it can be used for more purposes than just those, and it's going to allow us to expand and to improve our HC Kids ministry on Sunday mornings. And so we're really excited about that, that we can minister to more kids more effectively on Sundays. And so we're thrilled about that. And so we want to encourage you just to pray that this project would go well. We want to encourage you as well to consider what you might give towards this. The idea that we want to throw at you about this as a church is that everybody give what God leads you to give. And so would you now just begin saying, God, what would you want me to give above what I normally do to this project so that it can be carried out? The total project is $191,000, and really that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that's happening. And part of this, we have money set aside to do it, but what we're trying to raise collectively as a church, our fundraising part of this is $82,000, and we want to do that before the end of September. And so if you want to give on a Sunday gathering, you can do that. Towards that, just put the Not Here Yet project on an envelope or on your check. And or if you want to give online, there is a bar that you can, an option that you can click on there that's called the Not Here Yet project. So we can track that. And we believe that God's going to provide, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, last week we began a brand new series called Urban Legends, and Luke spoke and got that thing started, and he gave to us a myth. One myth that we looked at last week, and that myth is that God will not give us more than we can handle. The myth, the lie, that God will not give us more than we can handle. Well, it's been an interesting week on a lot of levels. Our oldest son went off to camp this past week and had a lot of interaction in the Word of God and about Jesus, and had a great time in the camp that he went to. And he came home and he said, "Hey, Dad, I heard somebody that said the myth we talked about last week." I said, "You did?" He's 9. And I said, "He did." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Somebody made the statement that, you know, God won't give us more than we can handle, but that's a myth." I'm like, "You're spot on, buddy." Here's the deal. A lot of times we experience things that we can't handle. And I don't know about you, but with all the events of this last week that have been going on within our nation, I'm overwhelmed. Anybody else besides me just overwhelmed? Thursday evening, we were together, the pastor team here, we got to get away for a couple days to pray and to seek God's face and make some plans and ask for clarity and to just try to be prepared to lead this church that God has so lovingly put together well. And Thursday, as we kind of took a break on that evening, somebody was scrolling through their Facebook and they said, "Oh, turn on the news." And there we saw the atrocities and the tragedy that took place in Dallas. And our hearts just sank. And it's been a while since I've felt the way I felt that night and throughout the following days hereafter. I don't know about you, but I remember exactly where I was when I found out about what happened on 9/11. I don't say this to sound spiritual at all, I was actually praying that morning. It was my prayer time, and my mom called, and I normally ignore phone calls during my prayer time and whatnot, and my mom called back the second time, and I thought, well, I better get it. And she said, "Turn on the news." And I remember sitting there in my living room in awe, and I think that's kind of the way I was Thursday night. Today, I'm going to do what I just hardly ever do, and I'm not going to preach what I had planned to preach today. Not because what I'd planned to preach today doesn't need to be preached, but I think that God has just overwhelmed my heart, and therefore I think maybe he's overwhelmed our hearts with where we are as a nation. And I want to give you some areas in which that I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm overwhelmed by the dangers and the unrest in our country. I'm overwhelmed by the corruption in our nation. I'm overwhelmed by the hatred in our nation. I almost marked this one out, but I believe I need to say it because I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm overwhelmed by the lack of leadership in our nation. I'm overwhelmed by the divisiveness in our nation. I have one direct plea for us as a church today, because I'm like, what do we do, God? And among the many other things that God may lead us to do, there's one thing that I'm sure that God wants us to do. As I think about Thursday, and I think about all the events that led up to it, and I think about all the other events that took place during the week that were separate from that, and where we are, and the political climate, and everything that's going on there, man, I'm just like, God, what's the answer? Well, here's what I know, and I think we all know it. You know, like, the answer is not, like, who the president is. That's not our answer. It's just not. Or who the president will be. Those things are important, they're huge, they're massive, but therein does not lie our hope. Amen, believers? Amen. Now, I love our nation, and man, last weekend, man, I celebrated July 4th, and rejoiced in the nation that we live, but I'm mourning in the nation that we live today. There's some names of some families that I want to read off, and I want to begin in praying for these families, and then we're going to read scripture, and we're going to pray some more. I think we need to pray for the Sterling family that's in Louisiana. And I will confess before you today that before this weekend, I didn't pray for them. I think we need to pray for the Castile family in Minnesota. And I'll confess to you that before this weekend, I really didn't pray for them. We need to pray for the Thompson family. Officer Thompson was one of those that was gunned down on Thursday night. I think we need to pray for the Kroll family, another officer that was killed in Dallas. I think we need to pray for the Zamarripa family, another officer that was killed on Thursday night. I think we need to pray for the Smith family, another officer that was killed on this Thursday night. And I think we need to pray for the Aaron family, another officer that was killed in Dallas, and the other six that were injured. So would you join me, regardless of all of the issues and thoughts and feelings that come up when I say all of those names? Most of us in this room probably don't know any of those people personally, but it's where we are as a country. Would you join me in praying for them? Father, we bow before you, and our hearts are sad. Our hearts are overwhelmed. And we just want to lift up to you the families of the people that we've just listed that have lost a loved one. Regardless of how it happened or why it happened,
whether it was just or unjust. We grieve the loss that these families grieve. And we pray for hope and healing and your presence and your power to be upon them. I pray that you would help us, your people, to weep with those who weep. And to be sad with those that are sad. And to comfort those that need to be comforted. Because pain is pain, and hurt is hurt. And that's what these families are experiencing, even in this moment today. Touch them in their pain and touch them in their hurt. Do for them what we cannot do for them, and touch them in the places that we cannot touch them. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture this morning. The first one, I think, is the call that is upon us this morning. It's from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Before we read it, and as it's up there, I want to just give you a little bit of context. Old Testament, God speaking to his people, in particular at this time, his people would be the people of Israel. This grand time in their history. They had just built this place to worship God. And God said, I like it. And God said, I'll bless. And the people got together, kind of like we did this morning, and they worshiped. And they sang songs, and they told God that he was good, and they told God that he was faithful, and they told him that he endured forever. And thousands upon thousands just caused the earth to shake, if you will, with their praise. And their king, King Solomon, has an interaction with God and talks with God and pleads with God. And God speaks back to him. And we should always, always celebrate when God speaks back to us, but we should also listen very, very closely. It's the reason why when we open the Word of God, our ears should be quick to hear. Because when we read the Word of God, we're hearing the voice of God. And God, in this moment, chooses to speak to Solomon and says a lot of stuff, one of which we're going to read this morning. Previous to verse 13, we're not going to read it, but I just want to kind of give you context. God says, I like you, and I love you, and I want to bless you. And then he says, every now and then, I may choose to give you more than you can handle. Check it out. You can read it. I think it's in verse number 13. Every now and then, I'm going to overwhelm you. It's just going to happen. And then he gives us verse number 14. He says, when that happens, here's what you do. Verse 14. Then, if, everybody say if. If my people who are called by not my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore or heal their land. Huge promise, glorious principle that we can apply to our lives today as God's people, but a giant if at the beginning of it. Now here's what I want you to notice before we go any further. Right now he's saying, if my people, well, because of the cross of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his work in our life to forgive our sins and to change us and to cause us to become his children, we can very humbly yet boldly say this morning that we are his people. We're not his people because we're Americans. We're not his people because we came to church this morning. We're not his people because we didn't break the law yesterday. We're his people because of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And he says, okay, people, my people, if we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek His face if we will turn from our wicked ways. Because I don't know about you, most of the time I think about everybody else who's messed up and how they need to humble themselves and how they need to pray and how they need to seek God's face and how they need to turn from their wicked ways. And I pray that that will happen. And yet God here says that's not the prayer you need to pray right now. God says, I'm talking to you. If my people will humble themselves, if my people will pray, if my people will seek my face, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. So this morning, I want us to make sure we're humble. Man. Humility. Where do we go with humility? Well, first of all, we are God's people, but I think we need to, as we did just a moment ago, remember why we are God's people. We're not God's people because we deserve to be God's people. We're God's people because God is good. This is when we say, amen. I'll try it again. We're not God's people because we deserve to be God's people. We're God's people because God is good. Amen. Thank you, people. Humility. Humility. We're not better than anybody else. And all of God's people said, amen. We've been saved by the grace of God, and we are who we are by Him. The list goes on and on of how we could talk about humility. Our money doesn't make us any better than anybody else. Our social status doesn't make us any better than anybody else. The color of our skin doesn't make us any better than anybody else. Whether we go to church or not doesn't make us better than anybody else. Where we work doesn't make us better than anybody else. The list just goes on and on and on and on. Humility. We have been created by God. We have sinned and fallen away from God. Jesus has reached out to us through the cross, and we are close to God because of Jesus. That is the essence of humility. Christian humility. Oh, I pray that we will humble ourselves to seek God's face. I don't know fully what it means to seek God's face, but I want to be caught trying to do it. Seeking God's face, His person, His presence, His will, His pleasure. And I think the way that we can make sure that we're doing that is we are in the Word of God. I don't know that Facebook is necessarily the avenue to the face of God. I'm not knocking Facebook. I immediately put on Facebook the other night that I'm praying for our nation. But may I be careful not to say I'm praying for my nation and think that I prayed because I put it on Facebook rather than getting on my face before God. And may we turn from our wicked ways. Is there a lot of wickedness in our nation today? The answer is yes. That's a no-brainer. That's an obvious fact. But what about the wickedness in our lives, people of God? That's where we're supposed to be looking right now. In Sunday school this morning, our class joined with another class, and I just want to say, man, I'm just reminded for multiple reasons. I joined in this morning, and the deacons, they normally meet early, and they pray, and I went in there and asked them to pray over me, and I was blessed by those men of God who are full of the Holy Spirit to pray over me. And then we went to Sunday school this morning, and I was reminded of the other people, many people in our church who are godly people, spiritual people, and one of those people led our classes this morning to a great conversation and invited in another godly spiritual man by the name of Aaron Calvin. Aaron Calvin grew up with some of the people in our church, and he loves Jesus, and he is a pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church, and he gave up his time this morning to have an incredible dialogue with that group, which was just incredible. And I'll tell you this right now, I was tempted to ask him to go further because I just met him this morning and I'm wowed by God's hand on his life and how God's using him as a probation officer and a pastor. And I was really tempted this morning to say, hey man, would you stay and skip your church service and be here with us this morning and join me on stage. But here's what I was afraid of. I was afraid of me potentially just having a guy up here as a token. Are you with me? And what I think is, I think that God needs to move on our hearts and our minds as a church this morning to just be humble and to pray and to seek God's face and to turn from our wicked ways. It begs the question, are we right? What are you talking about, are we right? I'm just asking, are you right? On all the stuff that you get worked up about, are you right? If you're not, then you're wrong. If you're wrong, then you're doing what? Something ungodly, wicked. Turn from our wicked ways. Some more questions I would pose that flow out of all of this. Some things that I would encourage us to do, I guess is what I would say, is let's make sure that we are seeking righteousness. Let us make sure that we are seeking justice. Let us make sure that we are loving others. Let us make sure that we are forgiving others. And let's make sure that we are praying for others. Here's the principle that is given to us in 7:14. If God's people humble themselves, if God's people pray, if God's people seek his face, if God's people turn from their wicked ways, then he says that he will hear from heaven, he will forgive our sins, and then he will restore or heal our land. How many of you in this room, you can raise your hand, you can grunt, you can amen, you can do whatever you want to do. How many of you in this room want to see healing and restoration take place in our nation? Guess what God just said? It's on us. That's what you wanted to hear this morning, right? You wanted me to talk about how everybody else, it's on us, God's people. So here's what we're going to do. As awkward as it is for me to not just keep talking and you listen and then go home, we are going to pause and we are going to pray again. And I pray that I am not just wording a prayer for us, but I pray that we join together in prayer. As weird as and awkward as it may be, I would love to know that while I'm praying, some of the rest of you are praying. As weird and awkward as it may be, I am perfectly okay with you ignoring my voice while I pray, and you just pray. As weird and awkward as it may be, I'm okay with you praying out loud while I'm praying out loud. I'm okay with that. And so for just a few moments, can we get real with God? Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways so that he can hear from heaven and so that he can heal our land. Would you bow with me and would you pray? You know, if it works better for you to agree with me while I'm praying, that's perfectly okay. But I just think that a lot of us just need to seek God's face during this moment and pray. Again, if you want to pray out loud, feel free. Father, we bow before you. I've been nervous about this morning just because I am overwhelmed. And I've felt awkward about today because I'm kind of approaching this differently than I normally would have. And I felt weird today because I'm sure we've probably got guests here with us that may normally not go to church or first time to this church or not a believer, and how awkward all of this will be. But God, I'm believing that as we, your people, we just humble ourselves and begin to pray that God, you're going to use that however you want to for your glory and to draw people to you. And so right now, God, I just want to humble myself, and we, your church, want to come before you humbly, recognizing our sin and our separation from you without Jesus, understanding how helpless and hopeless we are without Jesus. And Father, being reminded at the same time of the power and the glory of Jesus. And so we come to you now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We don't come to you because we deserve for you to listen to us. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And God, as you humble our hearts in your presence, we choose to pray. We choose to talk to you. We choose to tell you that we need you. We choose to tell you that we are overwhelmed and that we're desperate for you. And God, we seek your face. So many times we seek answers in so many other places, and today we just run to you. We want to see you, we want to hear you, we want to feel you, we want to experience you. We want you to bring about a mighty movement of your Spirit amongst us, your people, like never before. Because we're your people. We've been called by your name. And we want to act like it. We want to live like it. We want to love like it. Father, it is so easy for us to fall into the trap of looking at what everybody else is doing that is wrong. And God, there is so much in our world today that is wrong. God, for this moment, I pray that we fully look into the mirror of God's word and we say, what about me? God, where have I shown hatred? Where have I thought better of myself than I have of others? God, where have I chosen to do what pleases me rather than what pleases you? God, where have I chosen to partake in sin rather than be led by the Spirit? And Father, as you reveal those things to my heart, and as you reveal those things to our hearts, we confess them to you. God, of the many things that I need to confess I live in my own little world a lot of times. And I don't recognize the hurt and the pain that others around me experience. And I tune out tragedy for somebody else to deal with. I confess that it took Thursday night, a tragedy that was close enough to me. It's close enough to me. I got a couple cousins that live in Dallas. I've got a very good friend, two friends that are police chaplains in the city of Dallas. And so it got close enough to me for me to feel it and to realize I needed to pray. God, I confess to you that I complain about stuff more than I pray about stuff. I gripe about our politicians rather than praying for our leaders. I confess that to you. I confess to you that I'm selfish many times, that I'm greedy, that I'm arrogant and I'm proud. Confess my sin. And God, at this moment where we begin to seek you and to pray and to turn from our wicked ways, we're not doing it so that we can wave a magic wand and things be the way we want them. We're doing this because we want things to be the way you want them to be. We all got to figure it out. We all think we know what's best, but God, we understand in this moment that we don't have a clue. And we need you, the sovereign God, to show forth your wisdom and display your power in our lives, in our church, in our community, and in our nation. So begin with us. May our lives display your wisdom, your glory, and your power as we seek you, as we turn from our wicked ways. Oh God, heal our land, whatever that looks like. Heal it, restore it, begin in us. May we be a people, may we be a church that people just say, man, I don't know what's going on down there, but it's different. Man, those people just follow Jesus. They love people. They worship loud. They give generously. They forgive willingly. May we be guilty of those kind of things. May we be so liberal with the gospel that anyone and everyone that we meet, wow, can know it and experience it. It's changed our lives, and the glorious gospel can change anyone. So right now, God, we pray, we seek your face in humility, and we turn from our wicked ways. May this not be a moment of prayer. May this be a season of prayer. May this be a lifetime prayer for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus did a lot of talking. I know that because a lot of the New Testament's written in red. And check out what he says in John chapter 16. He said, I've told you all this. He said, I've done all this talking. I've done all this talking. So that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Does that not just let you to know that in the end, we win? In the end, we are victors because we are more than conquerors with Christ because he has overcome the world, all of its sin, all of its tragedies, all of its heartache, all of its pain, all of hell, all of death, all of the grave. Jesus says, I got you covered. What a word of hope. So as we leave here today, I pray that we will leave here being filled with hope, knowing that we serve a risen and triumphant Savior. Going to throw another passage on the screen, one that you're quite familiar with. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to join me in praying this prayer together. And I pray that we would just pray it with a heart, passion for Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Read with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.